Good morning.
It's still morning.
Wow. Well, today, as John says, we are looking at being a person of thankfulness as opposed to being a person of complaining. So, what I'd like us to do for the first minute is let's look back last year. Just think back to specific points of last year. Think about your circumstances. Then ask yourself, how did I deal with those circumstances? And did it reflect thankfulness? Because the meeting this morning so far has been absolutely superb. And I believe we did what God wants us to do this morning. You know, it's so easy for us to moan and complain. But I don't think as a church we share enough of what the good things that God has done for us. How did your hearts feel this morning? Mine was strangely warmed. You know, it's wonderful to hear of the good things. It's wonderful to each one of us when we've prayed for something. Am I echoing? It's wonderful when we hear, when we've prayed for something and we find out that God has answered that prayer. And we need to do more of that. But looking over last year, did we deal with the circumstances of life with thankful hearts? Now today, I'm going to look at four levels of thankfulness. And we're taught, or we like to think that we teach our children, that it's good manners to say please and thank you. And it is. When we say please and thank you, and when we hear our children say please and thankful, we feel good. But what I want to look at today is not about saying please and thank you to each one of us, which is right. I'm talking about the thankfulness towards God. And there is a difference. Because as Christians, we are called to be thankful people. As Christians, it's very important to God that we are a thankful people. And if we practice to be thankful to God, which we need to do, we cannot help but be thankful to one another and to people outside. And we've got to be careful that if we profess to be Christians, as we do in the workplace, as we do to our families, and we're there joining in with the complaining and the moaning, what does that tell people about church? So, as Christians, we need to get it into our very being, a thankful nature. And as I said, it's very important to God. And if we study the scriptures, the Bible says so much about thankfulness that we can only draw one conclusion, that it is important to God. It's His will. So, let's say for instance, atop of this podium is the line of thankfulness. So anything above the line is thankfulness. Anything below, we find level one, probably here. So level one is on the negative side of the thankfulness line. And level one is complaining. You think to yourself, well, how can you have a thankfulness line here and anything below it is negative? What's a negative thankfulness? It's complaining. Now, I'm not saying for 1 minute that there's anybody here that's that. Because I know you're all thankful people. But if we are not thankful, if we are a complainer, that can lead to a very dangerous outlook on life. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, is quite explicit. And Paul tells us, do not complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, he's referring to the ancient Israelites. Now, all these things happened as examples and were written for our admonition. So there's the warning. Now, it's very easy for us to look back at the ancient Israelites and say, well, what have they got to complain about? You know, they actually had God in a pillar of cloud and fire leading them. What have they got to complain about? He provided them with manna. He provided them with dew from heaven. He provided water from the rocks. Are we any different today? We have God with us. As Dawn said this morning, you know, he is with us. We may not see the physical cloud, but he's still with us. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. Does that stop us from complaining? Now, we're told not to complain, but we still do. Is it wrong? Are we not allowed to? Maybe there's one or two, maybe there's three or four, maybe there's 50 or 60 that are going through difficult times. Maybe they're not happy with certain areas of their life. Maybe others are happy with their lot in life. There's an American professor, let's call him a professor, who taught at a university. And over a period of 20 years, he carried out a trial. And every year, when he had his new intake of students, he'd look at them coming in and obviously same looks on the faces as he did the year before. And he would ask them a question. And the question was, in any 24-hour period, how often do you complain? And what he would do is he would tell them, go home and for 24 hours try not to complain. Try it. I have. And when you slip up, don't worry, write it down, but carry on. And then 24 hours later, he'd say to them, out of a class of 30, how many do you think managed to do it without complaining? And they'd all look at each other and think, they'd look around the class and think, oh, well, he looks as though he wouldn't complain. He's got a cushy life. So most people would say, about 6. What was the answer? 0. So he would then ask them, well, what was the object? What was the reason for the test? And what did you learn from it? And, like many years before, and probably in the years to come, the answer would be the same. Well, the answer to the first question would be, well, we complain. And the answer to the second question would be, what do we really have to complain about? Grace telling me to pull it down a bit. Is that better? But you see, it's true. Could we go a day without complaining? And I don't mean complaining. I mean gossiping and, you know, moaning. I mean, how many people, and I've heard this, you know, you'll go to somebody and say, hey, I heard that you were blessed. You know, you've got a new car, haven't you? Oh, yeah, but, you know, could have done with a bit more power. Or, you know, hey, I hear you've been blessed with a new house. You moved up to a new 3-bed house. Yeah, but I could have done with a 4th bedroom. You know, it's so easy. Yeah, but there's always a but. Why? You know, we've all done it. We are never satisfied. We always tend to hanker on what we haven't got and miss out on the blessings of what we have. And you know, it's not right. You see, when we complain, and there is a difference between complaining and explaining. When we complain, we are portraying a negative, dissatisfied, faithless frame of mind. Now, it's not wrong if you have a problem to share it with somebody. That's the difference. If we come to a fellow Christian or to God and we explain why we're feeling the way we feel, then we are asking for help in that situation. We are asking for our friend to pray on our behalf and intercede with God for us. But if we complain, then we have the danger of becoming a complainer. We have the possibility of becoming negative, dissatisfied, faithless. And unfortunately, that is what people will see. So that's level one. A complainer. But I'm sure none of us are at that level. Level two. There. Still below the positive side of the line. This is a person that doesn't complain, but on the other hand, they don't thank God for anything either. Anybody? No? So they're very, well,
I'm happy with my lot in life. Don't really want much more out of it.
Let's turn to Luke. Prime example. Luke chapter 17. Verse 11.
And I'll read it to us.
Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now note that Jesus didn't say in verse 14, come back and thank me. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, if we read Leviticus, we will see that if somebody has a skin problem, then it's left to the priest to decide whether they were classed as lepers or whether they were still allowed to be amongst the population. But if you were a leper, you were cast out of the city. You couldn't mix with normal people. You had to be in a colony on your own. So these guys couldn't enter back into the population unless the priest had given them the okay. But then note that in verse 18, what did Jesus say there? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God? Now that's where we stumble. Because if we don't give thanks to God, then we don't give glory to God. And that's what we are created for. To praise Him, to thank Him, to give Him the glory. So if we're not thanking Him, we're not giving Him the glory that He deserves, that He wants. But I'd like to come back to that if we have time at the end. Because there's something else I want to say on that. Level 3. Level 1, we are now in the posse. Level 3 is giving thanks to God for good things. For the good things in life. For example, thank you Lord for my health. Thank you Lord for providing me with work. Thank you Lord for a new car. Material things, but nevertheless we're to thank Him because He provides them for us. Thank you Lord for my health. Thank you for the birth of my lovely child. The everyday things that we remember to thank Him for. And the Bible tells us that we ought to do that. It's not wrong to thank God for the things that he provides us with. But getting back to Al Urban and his students, the next stage of the trial was, he gave them a piece of paper, and on the top of the paper they were to write things that we are thankful for. And then they were to split the paper into three columns. The first column would be, I will thank God for things. And then they would write down the list of thank you God for this, thank you God for that, thank you for this and thank you for that. The second column would be people. And they would write down the list of the people that they appreciated. And in the third column, they would write others, or other. And in this column, they would write down, thank you God for freedom, for love, for friendships, and that type of thing. Intelligence, opportunities, those types of things. And then they were to go away for a period of 24 hours, and they were to read back to themselves the things that they had written. And they were to do it four times a day. So we'd say, right, do it at breakfast, dinner, tea, before you go to bed. And then after the 24 hours, they would come back in. And he would ask them, has anything changed? But he didn't need to wait to hear their replies, because he could actually see it in their faces. Oh, that's amazing. And I tried it. And it works. You actually come in, and he says, they would come in, and they would have a contented look about them. They would have bigger smiles. They weren't nasty to one another. So he would conclude by saying, thankfulness does wonders for the soul. And I tried it. And it worked. Because what you ended up doing was, you'd look at the list of things. You'd look at the list of people and you'd think, And then you'd look at the list of others. And you'd start to chop and change the list around. You think, well, that's more important than that. And if you start to practice living like that, you start, yeah. And it's great. And we need that to become a way of life. And I'm not just thinking about the material things in life, but thinking of things like, you know, if you get into an argument, you get into gossiping and you start thinking, I'm thinking on the negative things instead of thinking on the positive things. And it's all about what we're focusing our attention on. If we focus on the things that we don't have, very quickly we're going to become complainers. Whereas if we focus on the things that God has blessed us with, it's very easy to have a thankful heart. It's up to us what we choose to focus on. Now, is that enough? Do we stop there and just thank God for the good things? Or is there more? Is God going to be satisfied if we only thank him for the good things he provides us with? Or does he want more? I think he wants more. It's very easy for us to thank God for the nice houses and the cars and the good health and the good job. But that isn't life. That isn't the true life, is it? What about the days you wake up and you come out and your car's been smashed into? Or your house has been burgled? Or somebody you know has been beaten up? Or your son comes home after being mugged. There's another level. Level 4. Would somebody like to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 and read out just the first four words, please? Ray, do you know it? Offhand? No. But he's got it. 1 Thessalonians.
Give thanks in all circumstances.
Four words. Give. Right, so the first four words. Give thanks. What does it say? Four words. In all situations, give thanks. Is it? Well, I've got it. Well, I've got it written down. Something else. I read it from my. It said it in full in mine. I'll get to it myself. I've got it written here. In everything, give thanks. You're not reading the proper version. In everything, give thanks. I'll get you after. Right. Thank you. No. Can we calm down, please? In everything, give thanks. Four very powerful words, but very difficult to achieve. To give thanks in any situation and circumstance. Very difficult to do. But you know what? That's what God wants. That's what God wants us to do. And it's coming back to thinking on the problem and thinking on the negative side. Yeah, but. And as I said, it's very, very difficult if you're going through a dark time to find something to give thanks for. But you know what? You can. You don't have to think on the negative sides. It's very, okay, yeah, you're going through a very difficult period. You may have no work. You may have lost your job. You've got your mortgage to pay. You know, we look around the world and there's floods. There's earthquakes. There's cyclones. But note what it says. It says, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, give thanks. There's a difference. Paul's not telling us to give thanks to God for what's going on. He's telling us to find something in the area and find something to thank him for. You know, thank God that whilst all of these things are going on around the world, he has a solution. He may not be intervening at this moment, but he has a hope and a future. He has something sorted out in the future. An example. There's a godly man who loved God. Really did love God. And one day, as he was going out to his car, he was mugged. And he was robbed for his wallet and whatever else he had. Now, I'd hate to think, I'd hate, you know, for that to happen to anybody. But you know what he did? He came up with four reasons to thank God. Even though he'd been mugged, wasn't badly hurt, but he'd been hit. He said this: let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Secondly, because although they took my wallet and what I had, they did not take my life. Thirdly, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and not I who robbed. Very sobering, that. So no matter what we're going through, if we look hard enough, we will find something to be thankful for. And then it goes on. I'll just check this to make sure I say it right. In everything, give thanks. I'm going to get you a new Bible podcast. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God expects it. It's what he wants, it's his will. So God isn't happy for us to stay at level 1, 2 or 3. He wants us to progress to level 4 and beyond. It's very easy to thank God for the good things in life. It's very easy to thank God when things are going well for us. But the true sign of a Christian, it's the sort of Christian that I want to be, is to be able to thank God when I'm going through the bad times as well. You know, I want to be in the position where I can say to God, well, I'm happy with my lot in life, whether I have or have not. But Lord, don't put me to that test, please. But I hope that I would be able to. You know, we've all been through situations that we don't want to go through. And if we go through it more than once, you know, the first words off our lips would be, Lord, why are you allowing me to go through this again? I don't want to. But you know what? I know you've got a plan for me anyway. I know that I'm going to learn something at the end of it. The light might be very, very dim at the end of the tunnel, but it's a light nevertheless. Thank you, God, for that light. We as Christians are meant to be a people who are committed to doing God's will. And part of God's will is for us to be thankful people. Now let's turn to Philippians 4:6. And I'm going to go off my words here. Tells us this. Chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Now it's talking about being worried and overly distraught. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then verse 7, and I love this, and I pray this over so many people. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when we get to level 4, even though we are going through situations, but, you know, we are a people who will look for something good, God grants us peace. And that's something that we all need. And we all want that peace that passeth all understanding. Wow. I want more of that. And then verse 8 actually ties in the two verses that we've just read. And is another reminder that we are to diligently look for good. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, like we heard this morning, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. So when you're going through a situation, when you're going through circumstances that you don't want to go through, nevertheless you're going to have to go through them, meditate on these qualities of God. Why? Because God's word, his promise, his plan all meet that criteria. And if you think on God and you think on the good things and you think of his promises, it's very hard to stay down. And then you might be on a high for 10, 15 minutes and then you might start to slide. Go back. Think on those things again. And you'll be amazed at what it will do. Why? Because they're true. If we don't believe what we are reading, then what's the point? If we're professing to be Christians and we believe in the Bible, then why aren't we believing more of what's written in it? Why are we not dwelling on what's written in the book? Why are we not sticking to, grabbing hold of, and not letting go of his promises? That's what we need to do. They're true, they're noble, they're just, they're pure, they're lovely, and so on. And these are the things that we need to focus on and give thanks in every situation and circumstance. And in closing, going back to level two, Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? This is something to think about. I want to just read you something that brought it all together for me. It's this. A friend, Melissa. Melissa grew up in a county seat town in central Indiana. Following her college days and her venture out into the world, she returned home one week and was shopping in a grocery store. By chance, she met a former high school classmate. They exchanged greetings in the usual, "Ooh, where are you now?" questions and answers, and then they parted, having given each other names and addresses. A few days later, Melissa received a letter from the friend, which read, "When I bumped into you at the store this week, I don't know why I didn't say something, but now I will. Do you remember that weekend when we were seniors and you invited me to attend your church youth retreat? That changed my life. And I've never told you. During my senior year, I was experiencing some deep family problems. And that retreat really saved me. For some reason, I've never thanked you. But now, I am. Thank you, Melissa, for caring and for asking me to participate." Jesus said, "Where are the 9? Now, I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to the Lord, on the day, I never got on my knees and thanked God for accepting me as I was, warts and all. I never thanked him for plucking me from the miry pit and placing me on the rock of salvation. In fact, the very next day, I wondered whether I was a Christian, whether I'd changed. Had God really come into my life? But I wonder how many times since have I given my testimony? Have I given God the glory? And we read that, and it's quite easy for us to jump to the conclusion that these nine were ungrateful. Only God above knows how many people they spoke to, the nine lepers, and witnessed to, and talked about their healing, and gave God the glory that he deserved. We'll never know, but God does. So maybe there's times in your life that God has answered prayers that you've not really thought about, you've prayed about, and you know, weeks down the line, God has answered, and you may not have thanked him for. Maybe they did that. Maybe we need to take time out to spend an hour or so with God and thank him for things that we may not have thought about and thanked him for. And if we want to get to level 4 and beyond, maybe level 2 is a good place to start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes, Lord, we don't give you the thanks and the glory that you deserve. Forgive us, Lord, and instill in each one of us that desire to get on our knees and thank you not just for the good things in life, or what we class as good things in life, but for the very basic things that we ought to thank you for. Like sending your beloved son Jesus to save us, to die for us, and to accept us just as we are, warts and all. And help us, Father God, I pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to think more on the good things, the noble things, the pure things. Focus on the characteristics of God in every situation and circumstance. For there's no one like you. And we love you. Amen. May the Lord bless you this week. Let's see if you can go 24 hours without complaining. It's a start.